Hello and God bless you. Or rather, let me ask you, do you have any idea how blessed you are? God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and has extracted us out of the grip of Satan and his angels. I'd like to title this final lesson in Colossians, The Importance of Religion. First, let me define my terms. The word important comes to us through Middle English from Medieval Latin, and it means of significance or urgent. The word important in of itself has neither a positive nor a negative connotation. For instance, if you were floating out in the ocean, circling sharks could be considered important. While at the same time, the boat approaching to rescue you would also be important. So today, when I say that religion is important, I am saying religion has played a significant role in the development of human history. Although the humanists and secularists claim to be non-religious, they indeed follow the ritual of their plastic idols and serve devils at the pleasure of their god, the prince of the power of the air, Satan. The word religion literally means to restrain or to tie back. So religion has been a significant way to restrain mankind throughout history. The taboos of religion restrain the predatory urges of the flesh. Religion has always been a tool to control social groups, to unify the purpose and the beliefs of a group. A good place to see the word religion in this light is in Acts chapter 26, verse 5, where Paul is explaining his background as a Pharisee, where he says that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. As a Pharisee, Paul lived a severely restrained lifestyle. Everything was regulated, measured, and counted. Even his sandal laces were wrapped and tied exactly to a precise formula and ritual. And Paul says he was head and shoulders above his peers in the practice of his religion before he met Christ. Throughout recorded history, the role of religion has played a significant role in all societies on earth. Religion has been a way to connect people around a ruling class with a set of goals and taboos. Historically, religion and government were closely tied together. Today, we see a similar situation in radical Islamic countries. Here in 2009, our country is having an identity crisis because of a blurring of the religio-political spectrum. To many, our president embodies their hope, and they see him as a savior figure. Old Israel's whole identity as a nation was tied to the temple and the system of priests and kings. Throughout the Middle Ages in Europe, the kings claimed to be divinely appointed and served at the pleasure of the Pope. England's King Henry, when excommunicated, started his own church, appointed himself as the head of the church, and even had his own version of the Bible printed. Tribal leaders across the world always represented the local religion and were thought of as somehow blessed by the gods. Religion has always served to bring order to a chaotic and harsh world where the earth quakes and the angry ocean drowns whole cities, where evil lurks as pestilence and plagues, marauding armies and neighbors kill and steal your wives and children while herding away your livestock and burning your home. Religions give false hope by giving false answers to man's nagging questions about life, death, sickness, curses, and taboos, none of which have anything to do with Christ in you, the hope of glory. In the Colossian area, there was a melding together of religions with the idea that they were all related. In fact, they were and are related because they are all religious practices tied directly to devil spirits. As I have mentioned before, Paul refers to them as the Stoicheia in chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you, that is, beware lest any man lead you away captive through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or stoicheia of the world, and not after Christ. And Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Now, either the word is true or it's not. Either they worshiped devils or they didn't. If they did, the devils have not retired. The activity of devil spirits has indeed ramped up, and deception is widespread. It is either Christ or devils. There are only two choices. I would like you to consider with me a few of the devil's offerings. Here in the New World, the ancient Inca worshipped their king, whom they regarded as divine, along with the cycles of nature, which were controlled by the other gods. Sacrifices were offered at the precise points of time, with the prescribed ritual and harmonic sounds. The emphasis of worship was the cycle of the sun, moon, and stars. For them, time and numbers were the sacred building blocks of spiritual power. A demon named Inti, the sun god, was the chief among all of their gods. Human sacrifice was routine, and fear ruled supreme. The government was the religion. In the Mediterranean region, the ancient Phoenicians worshipped a triad of gods, each of which were called different names and took on differing characteristics depending upon the city in which they were worshipped. Their head god was El, but he was often called Baal, who had a consort, Astarte, who was the maternal goddess. She was also called Asher-Yam, or Baalat, or the Mother of God, or Our Dear Lady, and was the mother of the son of Baal. The son of the god and goddess was the god Melkort. Astarte was both heavenly mother and earth mother. The Phoenician triad was assimilated into their neighbors' religions along with their alphabet and number system. This is where the devilish inspiration of Mary worship came from. Also centered in the Middle East is Satan's counterpunch to the true gospel. In Islam, religion and government are one and the same with a two-pronged approach. First, Islam demands absolute obedience to the laws and rituals of Allah and his human representatives. The second goal of Islam is the eradication of unbelievers. both the Quran and history demonstrate and establish these two goals. People of the Islamic faith are quickly spreading over the world and now constitute the second largest religion. Religion was very important to the ancient Egyptians. The purpose of their rituals was to recreate the conditions they believed had existed in the dawn of creation. Their magic was aimed at harnessing what they thought was the creation power. The central tradition was that of a divine pharaoh that was not only the political ruler but also a god. The pharaoh was the incarnation of Horus, son of Ra, the sun god. The pharaoh was called the son of God. Paul said these gods were devils. From this religious smorgasbord came Catholicism. Catholicism is a combination of several pagan traditions, including Judaistic Kabbalah, with a Christian twist. If you look at all the religions that Paul said were controlled by devils, you will find the traditions and doctrines of the Roman Church. The Roman Church is led by a human that claims to be the head of the Church. The Pope is purported to authoritatively represent God without fallibility, while leading an army of priests who transmit and enforce the traditions, rituals, and taboos. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20 said, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils." Religion is a construct of the cosmos. The cosmos is the world political and religious system that Satan rules at this point in time. The purpose of religion is to keep humankind focused away from God. Religion is important to the devil and his agents. Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost. He said, "If he sets you free, you will be free indeed." To understand the challenge Paul was addressing in the community of Colossae, the nature of the pagan religious culture must be understood. Otherwise, we understand in light of our own culture and our own worldview and miss the whole point. The pagan practices that the Colossians were inundated in might be termed as magic by us, but in that time, the practices represented the highest of scientific knowledge. There were three levels attainable to practitioners. First, there was a physical manipulation of tangible things to create illusions. The ancient papyri call this level of practice gaitia. Gaitia uses the effect of herbs, sacrifices, and rituals. This is the level of magic that the Jews thought the disciples were using when the body of Jesus disappeared out of the tomb. There was much of this level of practice and play in the pagan temples, as is illustrated by construction techniques of the ancient ruins. Sadly, today this level of practice is common, as we hear of mysterious smoke, orbs, angels, gems, gold dust, faked healings, and the list goes on. The second level of practice was the inviting and bonding with a spirit to the extent that soothsaying and supernatural effects were accomplished. These practitioners were called magia. This is the level that the Jews assumed Jesus was practicing at when he healed others and commanded devil spirits. They accused him of casting out devils in the power of Satan. This was a common practice among the pagan religions of the Middle East, Egypt, Galatia, Greece, Rome, and the barbaric pagan areas of what is now Turkey. The modern-day prophetic movement is replete with false prophets practicing at this level. There is an active effort to catch and propagate spirits among themselves and to their followers. Beware lest any should spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Biblically, an example of a Jewish sorcerer can be found in Acts 13:6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. The third and highest level of practice was what the ancient writings called theurgia. The level of practice was the giving over of oneself to a god, that is a demon, who was manipulated into doing the will of the practitioners. In recent history, we have seen the like of Jim Jones and David Koresh, among others, who practiced at this level and were totally taken over and controlled by their devil spirits. The word theurgia means divine work. The practitioner of this level was referred to as a son of God. We see an example of this in Simon the sorcerer of Acts 8:9. It says, "There was a certain man called Simon, which beforehand in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one." Of course, the Jews of the Colossian area had come out of captivity, where they had assimilated the mystical beliefs and practices that are the early forms of what we now know today as Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a form of mysticism that uses the Hebrew texts for divination and other occult practices. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, the earliest roots of Kabbalah are traced to Makurva mysticism. It began to flourish in Palestine in the first century before Christ and had as its main concern mystical contemplation of the divine throne or chariot seen in a vision by Ezekiel. It explained creation as a process involving the 10 divine numbers of God the Creator and the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Taken together, they were said to constitute the 32 paths of secret wisdom. Now, if you take these four levels of devil worship and mix in an illusion of Christianity, you'll have the early Catholic Church. Even the Catholics' own theological histories acknowledge the blending of pagan practices, holy days, and rituals in the assimilation of the pagan cultures. Even a casual comparison of the rituals and structures of the Roman religion reveals pagan gods morphed into saints, the theurgia as pope and cardinals, the magia as bishops, and with the gaita as priests out beguiling the masses. The other religious denominations can be traced back through points of rebellion and separation to the mother, the Roman Church. To find the true church, God must call you, place you in Christ, with Christ in you. It's not of works, or magic, or anything other than Christ in you. The practice of deception, using sleight of hand, emotionalism, mixed with rituals, continues today in religions of all types, including humanism and secularism. The demons' names have changed and the rituals slightly altered, but the beat goes on. The stoicia continue to shout that all religions are the same, so pretty much anything goes. The sad fact is, they are right. All religions are the same. Religion is about manipulating a god into doing your will through the use of rituals and incantations. The god of this world and his demons are very willing to play along until you have been hooked. Then they manipulate you. It was in the depth of this quagmire of pagan religion and fear that Paul wrote to the Colossians, "Try to hear these words of God as written by Paul, as though you were born and raised as a pagan and were still living in the midst of a pagan society. Because you are." Paul said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." See, God did the work. He made us able. He made us good enough. It is God who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, this statement meant something to the believers in Colossae. They fully recognized the darkness for what it is, firsthand, undisguised. The darkness today is no different. The forces of darkness are at work in every aspect of the world. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all He might have the preeminence. He is preeminent over all the stoichia, for it pleased the Father. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, yes, you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled, the one and only hope of glory, Christ, who is the head of the church, who is the new and singular heavenly race, is preeminent. He is the bright morning star, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. How puny and snivelly the counterfeits are in His light. Now skip down to verse 26, Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery, a higher and superior secret knowledge than all the secret societies and mysticisms of the Stoichia, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. It is manifest to His saints. The mystery can only be understood by His saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now move down to chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments, that is, stoicheia of the world. I'll say that again. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the stoicheia of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to the stoicheia's ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Following of religious laws presupposes that the fleshly effort we make can make things clean, consecrated, and godly. The rituals of all the pagan, mystical, and Jewish practices are about purifying utensils, sacrifices, and oneself for the summoning and appeasement of spiritual entities. But in the little book of Titus, Paul elucidates the fallacy of their practice. Chapter 1, verse 15, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Although they profess to know God," that is, big G, "they say they know God the Father. They are serving gods," with a little g. "They make great swirling smoke and dance the dance of deceit. In their traditions and philosophies, they reveal the defiled practice of the stoicheia. Their minds are blinded to the one true God, and their practice makes nothing pure." Religion is important as a controlling factor that brings people together in community, united in purpose and taboos. Religion is the way that lost humanity continues to be herded into groups for the slaughter. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Today we live in a complex and confusing world. Religion, politics, and social pressures press in to conform us and label us. But there is only one Christ, only one hope of God's glory. It is Christ in you. Christ in you comes not from the ritual of religion or the acting in the proper way, but by the calling and choosing of the one true and holy God, who has extended His grace through faith to us, not of works, lest any should boast. Beware, lest any take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit, after the religion of men, after the stoicheia of the cosmos, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware. In Christ is our only hope, our only protection, our only peace, our freedom. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.